Thursday at midweek, we're going to be taking up our contribution for the disciples in the church in Haiti. Amen? I want us to come ready to give everything we collect on Thursday night. We're going to be sending to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. So I'm really looking forward to that. How are we doing? I hope you had a good week. All the leaders did this weekend. You know, the Bible says that times of refreshing come upon you when you repent. And that's what we did this weekend. And that's why you see us smiling and beaming. And, you know, the leaders repent. So the rest of the church got to repent. Amen? And then you're going to be glowing. You're going to be refreshed. Like one kid said one time, when you repent, times of refreshment will come upon you. See, I've been talking about sin the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to continue there this morning. That we need to become people that hate sin. Again, this is such a huge topic. I can talk about this all year. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to attempt to finish it up this morning. But it was great being at our retreat because, again, all we talked about was, you know what? Jesus was the one who said, come follow me. And at some point in our lives, every single one of us in here decided to make Jesus Lord. The question, though, is, how is your walk with the Lord right now? How has it been? Are you just as committed to Jesus as you are today than when you were baptized? That's what I want to know. If you were studying the Bible right now and making that decision, would you get baptized? If you want to be honest, many of us will admit that, you know what, with the way I'm at right now spiritually, Because again, it's about making Jesus Lord. And as I started talking about a few weeks ago, the question for me is, what kind of church do we want to be in the next 10 years? See, I don't think in terms of just 1 year. 1 year is a short time. I don't know about you. It was this time last year, I knew exactly what I was doing. And boom, 2009 was gone just like that. You blink, we're going to be in 2011. So I'm thinking in terms of the next decade. I'll be 57 years old. Amen? Amen? I know I'm not going to be able to run as fast as I do now. You know, the older I get, the faster I was. But my mind is there, baby. My mind is sharp. You see, it all starts from the inside. What are you going to be like 10 years from now? Spiritually speaking. What do you want to see in your life? What do you want to see God achieve? I believe individually we need to recommit our lives back to God. I can tell you this morning that a lot of us we're going to be very uncomfortable with the things I'm going to be saying. And I hope you have been the last 2 weeks. You see, Jesus came to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. A lot of us in here, we become comfortable. You are now what I call a Sunday Christian. I don't know about you. I did not leave my old life just to go to church on Sunday and midweek. I made a decision that I'm going to serve God every single day. I was going to be a disciple of Jesus. And so I'm calling us individually in here to repent. I'm going to be calling you up. I know your phone number. I know where you live. We're going to be having talks. God expects things of you. God expects things of us as a church. If not, we might as well just close the doors and just go. And go somewhere else and go join somebody else. Amen? But I know God is not through with us yet. He's not even started. If we will repent, if we will change, you know, the more I read my Bible, the more I realize that, you know, a lot of things that happen to us in life is as a result of our sin. I know Job is in the Bible, okay? He was a man who was minding his own business. And Satan went and says, you know, does Job fear God for nothing? God allowed him to go after Job. But that was an exception, I think. It really was an exception. You see a lot of people in the Bible with all kinds of calamities befalling them. A lot of it was self-induced because of sin. A lot of what we go through is as a result of our sin. Because you will pay for what you do. There are consequences when you and I sin. God is not going to always cushion everything. And so I hope you're listening to me this morning. In Acts chapter 5, like I said, we've been talking about sin and having a fear of God. We're talking about the fear of God is having a reverence and a healthy respect for the creator of the universe. Like I said last week, God ain't your buddy. It's not your buddy that you put your arm around. Hey, what's up? Buddy? Please, do not bring him to that level. He is the almighty creator of the universe. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. You don't mess with God. There needs to be an awe and a reverence and a proper respect, which we lack in the West. I don't know about you. Have you noticed, even watching this disaster on TV with Haiti, as they're pulling people out of the rubble, what are they doing? They're praising God. Every single one of them. It was in the West. Oh man, I'm so lucky to be alive. That's what you'll be hearing people say. God will not be in the picture. Somebody lying in the rubble for 5 days, she comes out and she's just bursting out singing. Are you that kind of a person? Or is God your buddy? I don't know who taught you that philosophy. I don't know who taught you that theology. It is false teaching. The fear of God is in the Bible. I'm going to read about it this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. This is the church now. I'm talking to the church. Again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Most of the Bible is written to the church. Most of the Bible is written to believers. There are very few verses in here to non-Christians. It's talking to us. Amen? And yes, we're redeemed sinners, but we need to continue to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say with grace and trembling. With reverence and trembling. Acts chapter 5. Like Steve said, this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. This is my main text. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. We had just been told in the end of chapter 6, Barnabas sold the property and brought it to the church, says, you know, do whatever you want with it. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, you had all these Jews come to Jerusalem for the festival from different parts of the world. And so, the church started, Christians are selling their stuff so that those people from the outside can be taken care of. Amen? That's what we find in the Bible. So this guy, look at all this stuff, all the recognition that Barnabas gets. Hey, honey, let's sell our property and let's give the money to the church. What they were going to do was noble. But notice, the church didn't ask them to do it. It was something they wanted to do on their own. So Ananias and Sapphira decided to sell their piece of property. In verse 2, it says, with his wise full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And I've kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died.
I want you to think about this. You are talking to the church leader, and bam, he just drops dead. How I wish God would still continue to do stuff like this today. The young man came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" We'll stop there. If she had said, "You know what? Peter, as my father, I got something to get off my chest. That's not the money. That's not all the money. As a matter of fact, we kept back some of it." But that's not what she did. "Yes," she said. She lied to Peter's face. "That is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Second dead body in a matter of hours. Inside the church. These are Christians lying through their teeth. Then the young men came in and find her dead. Excuse me. At that moment, she fell down and died. Then the young men came in and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Verse 11. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. You see, Ananias and Sapphira are in the Bible for a reason. Again, this guy saw what Barnabas had done and the recognition, how people were patting him, "Oh, bro, great job, great sacrifice." And they decided, you know what? Hey, let's sell our land and let's give money to the church. But you know what? We're going to make it appear as if we're giving the whole thing. Notice, husband and wife decided to do this. Brothers and sisters, let me talk to the marriage in here. If you see your husband in sin, if you see your wife in sin, and you are not saying anything, God is going to deal with you. "Oh, I think my husband is doing fine." Really? You are assuming because he comes to church, he's reading his Bible every day? Is he talking about God? Is he sharing about what he's learning? Well, he's not really doing that. Then, what kind of a relationship does he have with God then? Because when you have a relationship with God, you can't help but want to talk about it. As you're learning, as you're growing, you're going to say, "You know what? Hey, let me tell you what I learned today. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying about this. I'm doing this. Whatever." Brothers, are you that kind of man of God? Sisters, are you just sitting there and you're watching your household crumble spiritually? Because he's meant to be leading all of you. "Oh, I think my husband's doing great." You are out to lunch. And vice versa. Husbands, do you see your wife just there? Going through the motions. Is she really a disciple of Jesus? I mean, I got to travel 45 minutes to get to church. Excuse me? That's where you're at spiritually? You're thinking of the distance to go worship God? When that wasn't your attitude, when you were studying the Bible to become a Christian? "Oh, I got to take care of 3-4 kids. Man, I'm just going to stay home for midweek." And then you wonder how come these kids are not falling in love with God. Because they know what the priority is for mom and dad. You see, our kids can tell whether we're in love with God or not. It's not rocket science. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you're always talking about them. You can't wait to be with them. Is that what our children see in us? And they wonder how come they're not falling in love with God. I believe the adults, the parents first need to repent. And don't repent because Richard said so. Repent because, you know what? God is going to deal with you. God has been dealing with you and you ain't seen nothing yet.
Like my friend Ross Yule in San Francisco always says, you know what? If you don't repent, you are not just going to feel the hand of God, you are going to feel the foot of God.
I don't know what everybody's thinking in here. I'm not around everybody 24 hours of the day. But God is. Do you fear God?
I joke with my wife all the time. I couldn't be a thief. I'd be watching a movie where there's some kind of heist, and I'm shaking the whole time. I know they're acting, and I know it's a movie, but boy, oh boy, they're going to get caught. I don't know how people are thieves. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't be a thief. If we're planning on doing something, you can look at me and I will give everybody else away. I don't know how to hide stuff. Because who am I fooling? God sees me anyhow. How's that marriage really going? Really? Are there men and women in your life that are helping you out? Amen? It's about repentance. It's about changing. You know, God decided to make an example of Ananias and Sapphira for the benefit of the whole church. He said, where is he? Are they going to be in heaven? I don't know. Well, I'm sure I'm not Ananias. I don't want to find out. Are you kidding me? The man just, bam, he just dropped and just died. The wife had a chance to change. She didn't take it. And she also died. I'm not God. I don't know if they're going to be in heaven or not. I have no idea. But I'm not going to try and be like them and try and find and take my chances. I'm sorry. I don't take this kind of chances. You know, quote unquote, you know, even today, there are things called extreme sports. I look at all these guys, these people are crazy. There's something wrong with these guys. They are not all right, all in the head, as far as I'm concerned. How can you, 50 stories, I'm going to jump off with this suit where I look like a bird, and I'm just going to jump off. You couldn't pay me $2 million to do it. And it's like, this people must be crazy. Oh, the adrenaline rush, right. And then something happens to the suit, the guy falls down, what? He dies. Then what? I don't know about you, man. That doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't. But you see, when they see in our lives that's unrepented of, you're taking unnecessary risks. That's what it boils down to. And it shouldn't be that way. What are the things in your life that you need to repent of? Is it laziness? Is it self-reliance? Are you relying on self instead of relying on God? Whose power are you living on a daily basis? What keeps you charged up? Where is your power coming from? Is it from you or is it from the Almighty? Are you plugged in to Jesus? Maybe that's your sin. Maybe again, you know the good you ought to do and you're not doing it. James 4:17, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. What is it? How many more lessons do you have to hear before you change? You could die tonight. You could die tomorrow. Yeah, we'll all be there. We'll miss you. We'll cry. I'll do the funeral. But the question is, are you right before God? Is it a lack of commitment to Jesus Christ? Seriously. We are not going to be a church where we're just going through the motions.
We never have, and we never will. I did not quit my career just to go to church on Sunday. I was doing that before I became a Christian. It's not about playing church. I am not a churchgoer. I am a disciple of Jesus. You are not a churchgoer. You're a disciple of Jesus. There's a huge difference. A lot of us will become churchgoers. How do I know? We're not giving anything. We're not serving anywhere. We're not doing anything. You know yourselves. If the trumpet sounded right now, would you go to heaven? Can you confidently say yes? You see, repentance is a decision that all of us need to make. It's a continuous thing. Why? Because we're sinners. Are you serving? You've been called to help out in some area? Oh, I can't do that right now. I got this going on. I got that going on. Excuse me? What Bible are you reading? Jesus said the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Are you going to be stretched out? Yes. Am I going to be stretched out? Yes. Then welcome to the kingdom of God. You see, the church has never been about me. It's never been about you. But for a lot of us, over the last several years, the church has become about you. Where are my needs being met? Excuse me? What do you mean your needs? What about the needs of other people? You need to take your eyes off of yourself. And then you see the joy come back. You know, I've never seen people that are out of themselves giving to other people, just helping other people out who are down and depressed. I just have never met them. Because even scientists and doctors will tell you, there's therapy in it. Just giving of yourself. That's when you're the happiest. It's not when it's about, okay, this gets done for me. Well, this doesn't get done for me. It's about, you know, this is not me, church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Let me turn the lights off. I'm going to show you something I showed many years ago. Again, just to remind you. Let me turn the lights off. Okay? All the lights. Everything down. And we're going to look. We're going to see me, church. I'm just reminding you. Here it comes.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
That's what church has become in America. It's about people getting their needs met. It's about what do they get out of this? Instead of, hey, how do I serve God? I became a disciple in June 1st of 1996 in Gainesville, Florida. Because I saw men and women
who are not just claiming to be Christians, who are not just claiming to be followers of Jesus, but they were living out. They were living it out. That's why I signed up. Now, I don't know what you signed up for, but let me tell you something right now. This church is not for you if you do not want to be a disciple of Jesus. And it will not be for you. You will feel very uncomfortable here. Amen? I'm calling us to repent. Every single individual. Because again, we're going to be the church that God calls us to be. Amen? But see, the trick is repentance. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what the Bible says repentance is. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, verse 8, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurts you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance, as God intended. And so we're not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. Indignation, alarm, longing, concern, readiness to seek justice done at every point. The Bible says you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not feeling guilty. If you're feeling guilty, you haven't repented yet. That should be a lie that goes up in your head immediately. It's like, you know what? That ain't repentance. Because my Bible tells me when you repent, when you make the decision that, you know what, I am changing. I am sick and tired of being this way. And you change. Times of refreshing will come upon you. Are you a husband? Are you a father that's leading that family? How many times does your wife have to say, you know, honey, come on. We need you to lead us. What are you waiting for? You have a responsibility before God as a husband and a father from the Bible. You are the spiritual head of that household. And now, you just want to be an absentee dad. An absentee, you're just there. That ain't Christianity. Amen? It's time to repent. But you're not going to repent until you're sick of the way you are. You know, I never forget a book I read many years ago. The title of the book is Finishing Strong. And he was talking to men, primarily. The guy who wrote it, his name is Steve Farrar. And he made three basic points that I will never forget when it comes to sin. He said, sin will keep you longer than you are willing to stay. Sin will keep you longer than you are willing to stay. Number two, sin will take you farther than you are willing to go. Sin will take you farther than you are willing to go. And sin will cost you more than you are willing to pay. That's what sin does. Satan never tells you all the consequences. And God says, flee from all that. And when we do, when we're men and women who fear God, who revere God, times of refreshing will come upon us. Amen? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 17. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 18 verse 13. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. But the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 10 verse 27. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings wealth, honor and life. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 4. And one of my favorites, Psalm 25 verse 14. It says, the Lord confides in those who fear Him. Come on. When you're a man, a woman who fears God, who reveres God, God will confide in you. Oh, I like that. I'm not boasting. I'm not saying this to be proud. I've got my own private line to the Almighty. Did you hear me? I love it. You love it.
When you fear God, you got your own private, you know, connection. God has you on speed dial. But it's for men and women who hate sin and who fear God. Psalm 33 verse 18. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Amen. God is always watching over you. Constantly. Psalm 34 verse 9. Those who fear God lack nothing. Oh yeah. See, there's a swagger in your step. Those who fear God lack nothing, the Bible says. Psalm 145 verse 19. Talks about how God fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Amen. True repentance. You see, an unknown author wrote, there's a radical distinction between natural regret and God-given repentance. The flesh can feel remorse, acknowledge its evil deeds, and be ashamed of itself. However, this sort of disgust with past actions can quickly shrugged off, and the individual can soon go back to his old wicked habits. None of the marks of true repentance described in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 are found in his behavior. Out of a list of 10 men in the Bible who said, I have sinned, we believe only 5 actually repented. They were David, Nehemiah, Job, Micah, and the prodigal son. It's one thing to say, I have sinned. It's something else to repent. The guys who said, I have sinned and didn't change. Pharaoh, Achan, Saul, Balaam, and Judas Iscariot. So I'm not interested in just you acknowledging where you're at. God is interested in you repenting. God is really interested in me repenting. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's what we leaders did this past weekend. And I'm telling you, it was refreshing. Church, you better buckle up. Oh, you better buckle up. Oh, I'm fired up. We're not going to be harsh. We're going to be very loving. But boy, you are going to change. I am going to change. We are all going to change. Or you will go somewhere else where they will tell you what you want to hear. And that's okay with me. That does not bother me. That it never has. But I will preach the word. Because again, Ezekiel 33 is in the Bible for a reason. You go read it in your spare time. It says, when I see my brother, let me back up. It says, you're a righteous person. And then you start doing wicked stuff. None of the righteousness you did in the past is going to be remembered. Then Ezekiel 34 starts talking about how if you see people in sin and you don't tell them, their blood is going to be on your hands. Nobody's blood is going to be on my hands. I will tell you like it is. I've said it before and I'll say it again. For me, it's not, as far as a preacher is concerned, it's not about being liked. I'm going to tell the truth. I'd rather have people respect me any day than just like me. Now, if you get to know me, I'm a pretty nice guy. Now, when I get behind the pulpit and I'm preaching the word of God, I'm going to tell it like it is. Okay? But I hope I'm doing it in a loving way. Not because, you know, I hate us or I just want to be calmed down on us. No. I just want us to be our best for God. I want you to be there when your name is called. That's all I'm concerned about. And so, yeah, you may think, oh, Richard is a bad guy right here. When we get to paradise and you come and thank me, it's okay. That's fine. But it's about hating sin. It's about repentance. It's time for many of us to get our spiritual groove back. I don't know about you. I'm not living out the last decade with just I'm bringing that into this decade. If you want to go back there and relive that, that's your problem. Okay? But I ain't doing it. And I ain't going back with you. I want this decade to be very different. I want this decade for God to glorify Himself through our lives and through this church. And so, church, the question I have for you this morning is, are you with me? Not just by talk. Okay? Because if you haven't noticed, I have stepped on the gas pedal. Literally. And this baby is going. I hope you're on board. Don't be, wait for me! Get moving, soldier! We got work to do in Gwinnett County. Amen? But church, repentance is great. It's awesome. Times of refreshing will come upon you. Find somebody. A brother you're close to, a sister you're close to, another couple. Get all the junk out. You know it's there. I can see it. Don't fool yourself like Ananias and Sapphira. Now I pray when we're talking, you don't drop dead. Okay? That's not going to happen. And God already answered me on that one. You're not going to have a heart attack or stroke and boom, just fall out. It's not going to happen. But if that's what God needs to do to get all of our attention, then I say, let Him do it. Great fear seized the church. Great fear needs to seize this church. Great fear needs to seize every church in our brotherhood. Amen? Becoming men and women who hate sin. That's what repentance is all about. I'll see you guys Thursday night. Let's come ready to give to Haiti. And also, hang on, we're going to be presenting the new structure and what we're going to be doing going forward. And so you don't want to miss midweek service, okay? You don't want to miss it. It's going to be tremendous. And so come ready to give to the church and brothers and sisters in Haiti who've lost everything. And then we're going to be talking about just our new family groups and stuff. It's going to be a great, great time. Amen? God bless you.